Hello everybody and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the upcoming UFC main event between Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Kevin Holland, the Trailblazer. Okay, this episode is brought to you by Elion Paris. Make sure you check out elionparis.com. They've got all kinds of Dragon Ball Z stuff. They've got the reflex ball, which I'm going to be getting in a week or so. The strap, the ball, bam, bam, you know, just like Lomachenko. Get yourself one of these things. And their Dragon Ball Z kit is very, very cool. I've got a couple of pairs of Elion boxing gloves in there that I've been using. I've got their Muay Thai shorts. Everything that they do fits great. Stylish, classy. I'm a big fan of Elion. Make sure you check them out. ElionParis.com. Okay. So, this is a really interesting battle, this one is. Wonderboy is, of course, getting on a little bit now. February 11th, 1983. He's a little bit younger than me, but not much. Kevin Holland is, what, 9 years difference? 8.5 years difference? A lot of fights as well for Kevin Holland. It's quite interesting how different their careers are in a lot of ways. So Wonderboy is 16-6 with one draw. Kevin Holland is 23-8 with one no contest. Of 16 wins, we've got 7 knockouts and 1 rear naked choke on Wonderboy's record. On Kevin Holland, out of 23 wins, we've got 13 knockouts and 6 submissions, 2 triangles, rear naked choke, guillotine, DARS. Kevin Holland's never been stopped, but he has been subbed 3 times. Thompson's been stopped once by Pettis. That's a good place to start. So, both of these guys are good strikers. Good strikers in different ways. Wonderboy is a very skilled traditional martial artist. You can see that karate style in the way that he sets up his techniques, the way that he lays traps and draws people into range and walks them onto shots. He's really, really quite beautiful. Kevin Holland has got a developing striking skill set that is very effective. He has this really lovely kind of whipping style that he uses with his hands. I mean, we saw it against Jacare, ground and pound from bottom. But even in striking ranges, I'll show you a little bit in a second. Even in striking ranges, he's very good at kind of whipping and swinging from his shoulders. It's almost like he's got 2 weights instead of fists on chains that are attached to his shoulders. Because he's very good at kind of whipping and swinging and using his kind of like relaxed momentum to sting at people. Which generates a lot more force than I think he would if he was just doing his traditional techniques. So the striking range is going to be really interesting in this one. I think when it comes to the grappling, it's quite clear cut. I think Stephen Thompson needs to keep this fight on the feet, and I think he knows that quite clearly. I don't think he's going to want to be tangling with Kevin Holland on the floor. I think Kevin Holland is quite happy for the fight to go to the floor because he's going to feel like technically he's got the grappling abilities to cause Wonderboy some real problems. But I also think Kevin Holland's going to want to play striking a bit here. So Wonderboy switches his stance a little bit. Kevin Holland's very good at working the lead leg of his opponent to set up the rest of his attacks. If he's fighting a southpaw, he'll be working to keep touching that lead hand and everything comes off that, whether it's a side kick to the midsection or to the lead leg or whether it's firing that straight right down the pipe. Wonderboy will switch his stance. He'll use different techniques off different stances, but he's very, very good at keeping you on the ends of his feet, poking you, prodding you, slapping you with techniques where he's not really overcommitting. You know, he brings his legs up to head height super easily. So there's not much of a difference for Wonderboy throwing a kick to throwing a punch. For most people, it's far, far more efficient energy-wise to throw punches because they're not as conditioned or flexible or, you know, skilled as Wonderboy. But Wonderboy's kicks come up just as easy as Holland will throw his punches, which is going to make it easier for Wonderboy to negate that height and reach advantage that Holland's got. So 6 foot for Wonderboy, 6'3" for Kevin Holland, 6-inch reach advantage as well for Kevin Holland, 81 inches. That's a decent reach that he's got there. They're both fairly similar on striking output. Strikes landed per minute, 3.9 compared to 3.85. Striking accuracy slightly higher for Kevin Holland, but he also throws a decent amount more as well. I'll come to that in the knockdown statistics. Takedown average, of course, slightly higher for Kevin Holland. Takedown offense is far more stacked. Well, not far more, but it's considerably more stacked in Wonderboy Thompson's because every time someone tries to take him down, he's trying to defend it. And he's been able to do that 63% of the time. Kevin Holland's takedown defense is 50%, but I can't say that every time someone's tried to take him down, he's tried to stop them, which is why I feel like these statistics are not very reflective of the fighters that they are. Because of 50% takedown offense that Kevin Holland's got, there's going to be a good portion of those fights, of those takedowns, where he chose to attack instead of defend the takedown. Wonderboy knows that he's not got the ground skills to be competing against most of the fighters that he's up against. I'm not saying that he's not a grappler, that he can't grapple, because of course he can. But it's been developed out of a defensive mindset because he's such a good striker. Because everyone that fights him wants to take him down. So everyone tests his takedown defense. Not as many people test Kevin Holland's takedown defense because, you know, he has got good grappling. And because he's striking somewhat chaotic, a lot of people feel like they're going to be able to catch him. Thompson does better with people that have got more traditional striking skill sets. When people move along more traditional paths, they're easier to set up, they're easier to lay traps for. Kevin Holland is more like fighting what's his name off dodgeball? Patches O'Houlihan, throwing wrenches at. He's more like fighting that guy because you never know when he's going to turn into a spinning mass of elbows and knees. And this is where Wonderboy can get caught out, because of the one time that he's been stopped, it was Anthony Pettis doing something wild like springing off the fence. If you move along traditional patterns or paths, if you're a kickboxer, a Muay Thai fighter, or a boxer, or a Taekwondo fighter, or a karate practitioner, or whatever, as long as there's a base system that you're working off, Wonderboy is going to be able to tap into that system and start working against it, because he's got such a broad amount of experience against loads and loads of different people that he's trained with and fought over the years, that he's been able to understand the movement patterns of people that have been trained particular ways. Because Kevin Holland is a bit more chaotic and kind of pulls things out of thin air, it makes him more difficult to set up for things. Which is where the challenge really comes in for Stephen Thompson, because I think he's kind of up against it here with Kevin Holland. That there are certain things that Wonderboy does really well, but in order to do them well, he's got to be confident that he's not going to get caught in the process against Holland. Let me show you what I mean. So if I'm Wonderboy, I'm keeping him on the end of my legs because of that 6-inch reach advantage, that 3-inch height advantage. I'm going to use my legs like arms. I'm going to sting him. I'm going to kick him. I'm going to sidekick him in the midsection. I'm going to do whatever I can to keep him on the ends of my legs. Because at this point here, he can keep Kevin Holland on the outside. He can force Kevin Holland to use that chaotic style that he's got to cover distance instead of to throw strikes. And then he can start chipping away and eating away at him from the outside. Look how easy he picks these legs up. Jabs at his opponent. Chops into the legs. Difficult. You see stitching here. He blocked high because he didn't know where the leg was coming. I mean, this is the thing with Wonderboy. Because he's so comfortable, it's so effortless. Like, you see someone throwing a low kick and they might go whack. You might see someone throw a body kick and they might go ugh. They throw a head kick and they go ugh. Like, the effort is quite obvious. With Wonderboy, it's low kick looks like a high kick. High kick looks like a low kick. Like, it's much easier to disguise things. And he does it really well. This was his UFC debut back in like 1964 or whatever it was. Like, look how he just brings it and just flicks it up. Fortunately, that time he was blocking the right place. But being on the ends of Wonderboy's legs is really a problem, really problematic, because he can start stitching things on. This is one of my favourite knockouts of his. He can start stitching things on to the ends of his techniques when he sees you move in particular ways. And this is a prime example of this, because he's been kind of peppering and keeping him on the outside of his range with his kicks, and then he closes range just a little bit. He just gets slightly inside his own kicking range, which brings him into punching range. And as he throws this punch to the head, you'll see Stitchin just move away slightly. But what he's not seeing is that as this right hand goes out, the right leg's already on its way. So he leans away to try and counter with a long sweeping hook, and as his head comes back, he just gets slapped in the side of the chops with a foot. Just effortless for Wonderboy. Cross, slap. Beautiful. Here we go. I love it. I love that technique. Because he's in punching range, you can see Wonderboy throws a jab and he throws his cross out there, but still you can see how he's shifting his feet. You know that his cross is not his intention because he's already stepping with this foot over here. He's already drawing his hips over to the side, ready to put that kick on the end of it. Look at the placement. I mean, that is literally, it's a foot to a cheekbone. Doesn't need to be a Muay Thai kick to knock somebody out. A lot of people think they need to throw really heavy, powerful kicks. What we see from Wonderboy, what we see from the likes of Rob Whittaker with that snap high kick that he lands, you don't need to land with a lot of force if you land in the right place. And you can see this on the end of that punch, slaps him right on the side of the face and just knocks him out. And the other benefit in keeping people on the end of your punches, this is another one of my favourite knockouts against Patrick Cote. Patrick Cote, who made his debut against Tito Ortiz on short notice at light heavyweight. Crazy. What a gangster. So the problem when you start feeling like you're on the outside of Wonderboy, like you're on the ends of his legs, is that you kind of need to get through that range. You need to get a bit closer to him. And Patrick Cote is a good boxer. He's got heavy hands. But he was on the outside of Wonderboy's kicking range and it was getting frustrating for him. So he ends up, like I say, covering the distance between hips. Instead of being close enough to start using his power at close range, he's got to use his power to cover distance before he's into range. Kevin Holland's dangerous at close range because he's wild and chaotic and he flows from one shot to the next. But if he's on the outside, he's got to move through a dangerous range against Wonderboy until he gets to that stage where he can start being chaotic. What Wonderboy does here is really beautiful. And you can actually watch this. You can actually watch this fight back because you'll see him set this up earlier in the fight and he doesn't quite land it cleanly, but he makes the adjustment. Watch this. Kick. Pulls him in. You see how he's leaving his head hanging there? Hands down, head's hanging there. Like, that is like a red rag to a bull if you're a power puncher. But look how much distance Patrick Cote has to cover. And this is another benefit in Wonderboy's stance being so wide. Like, we spoke about it the other week with Chandler's stance being so wide because he's able to kind of bounce back and forth and bounce his way into range and out. But it does leave that lead leg vulnerable, which I'm going to come onto in a moment. But what it also does, and Adesanya does this very well, he can leave his head hanging. He can leave his head over his lead leg because when his opponent reaches for it, he's got movement. He's got space. He's got weight on his back leg that he can slip onto to pull himself out of range. This is super slick, this one. Hanging his head, waiting for Patrick Cote. Cote winds up, throws a big shot, and Wonderboy just drifts out of range and catches him on the chin. Drift, bang. I love this knockout. That's just so clean. That is a supreme ability to manage range. That double step. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about with his width of his stance. Let me see if I can explain this. Front leg, back leg. So I would say his head is probably slightly past center line, maybe slightly more towards his lead leg. But what you'll notice is that as Patrick Cote attacks, you're going to see his head drift away. That's going to take weight off his lead leg, which means is that lead leg can then move back. And as his lead leg moves back, then his rear leg can move back. It's a bit of a chain reaction. Head, front foot, back foot. Head leans away, takes the weight off his lead leg. Look, lead leg moves back. Lead leg moves back to where the back foot is. Back foot moves away, and as soon as the back foot's planted, the right hand's gone. Head, front foot, back foot, cross. It's poetry, isn't it? It's just a beautiful punch, that is. And this is one of those fortuitous "You son of a bitch." It was one of those fortuitous kind of locking of arms. I don't think he intended on doing it. But unfortunately for Patrick Cote, it certainly didn't help out the finish. Lovely shot. Really nice. Of course, if you're fighting Wonderboy, most likely you're going to try and take him down. We've talked about his takedown defense. He has got good takedown defense. 63% doesn't really do him justice if you look at the people that he's fought. He has fought some very, very strong opposition. I think he's going to be able to defend the majority of takedowns against Kevin Holland. Unless Kevin Holland throws some chaos in there, like falls to a leg or something like that, I can quite easily see that being a possibility. Anytime when Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is clinched and people are trying to manipulate his balance, they're much better to wrestle his lower body. If you're trying to control his upper body and trying to move him, that spatial awareness that he's got when he's out in the open striking is also very much a part of his game when he's looking to post and base and keep himself in good positions. He's very good at maintaining his balance. Like, this is a good example of what I'm talking about here. Look how he manages to get his hands to the floor. Hand, finds himself in top position. Same thing here. Lateral drop from Patrick Cote. Sags his waist, gets a hand to the floor. He's so good at being able to spread his base and maintain, find his way back to his feet. Of course, he's going to have to defend some takedowns here against Kevin Holland. I think that's quite clear. If you wonder, boy, I want to be on the outside. I want to be keeping him on the ends of my legs and then trying to draw him in so I can counter him with those single shots. I don't want to get caught up in firefights with Kevin Holland because he's too chaotic. He's got a long height and he's got a tall reach and he's got bony elbows. I don't want to be dealing with any of that if I'm Wonderboy Thompson. I want to play a very smart points fighting game and try not to get touched. For Kevin Holland, no matter what stance Wonderboy Thompson's in, I need to be working his lead leg. Because if I can take away some of the ability for that lead leg to function, I take away a lot of his game. I take away a lot of his movement. I take away a lot of his striking options, especially his legs. But even you can see how important his feet were when he landed that cross against Patrick Cote. If you start deadening those feet, it's like trying to ride with a flat tire. Like it feels like it lags. It slows you down. Your weight sits into your base a little bit more. You're not quite as fleet-footed as you'd normally be used to being. So if I'm Kevin Holland, I'm working that lead leg, and we've seen him do this really well. We've seen him do this really well against Alex Oliveira. He did a few different ways. Nice little feint here, chopping into the leg when his opponent's stepping. And that hop oblique kick as well. Let me just speed this up. Chopping into the calf there, you can see that nice targeting. See, look how wide Alex Oliveira's stance is. So difficult to get your feet away from these when you're planted on that lead foot. And then the oblique kicks, just kind of interrupting his stance, interrupting his forward movement. And this is what I was talking about with the chaos in his game. And I've put these back to back so you can see what I'm talking about. Watch the movement of Kevin Holland here. Hop, hop, hop. Watch the feint here. Can you see how he's giving the same feint, but what he's actually trying to do is he's trying to cuff him with this left hand that Oliveira interrupts with his rear hand. But he's still able to fire that right hook and catch him on the, like, kind of below the nose on the chin and knock him off balance. See, that is not a regular movement pattern. That is Kevin Holland firing the weapon that he feels like can reach his opponent in the direction where his opponent has found himself. That's not a technique that he's set up there. The movement was triggered by the feint, like he was going to step and hop to this lead foot here. The secondary attack is the hook coming around the side, which is stifled by the rear hand of Oliveira. So we've got a hop and a slap, but then his right hook still lands on the target. Hop, slap, hook, and then chases him down. And then against Tim Means Southpaw, we're watching this lead hand. So he's clapping down on that lead hand. he's trying to draw him in here. He's trying to draw him in. He's trying to control the lead hand. There's a lot of the time when you see people of the same stance, Southpaw v Orthodox fighting one another, there's a lot of a battle with that lead hand because it's the person that controls the lead hand controls the jab. Generally, the general boxing principle, which is true to an extent in my opinion, generally you want to be on the outside of their lead foot and you want to be out on the outside of their lead hand. So at the moment they're kind of 50-50 because they're almost high-fiving. If, for example, Kevin Holland's hand was on the outside and he was moving in this direction towards the camera, then he's controlling the lead hand because he's on the outside of that, which means he can pat down the jab and jab over this shoulder into this pocket here. That also makes it easier for him to set up his cross because he's lining his opponent up on line for that cross. Doesn't always work. There's a lot of argument to be said for moving towards their power side, but maybe not unless you're Canelo. But what he does do, which is really nice, is uses this hop side kick into the midsection, which I think would be a really useful thing to do as well, because the height advantage, 3 inches in height, you know, if he can keep stinging Wonder Boy in the midsection and kind of beating him at that game, especially if he's going to the leg and to the body and keep working him, keeping him away, it's going to maybe force Wonder Boy to start closing range down and using hand strikes, which is where Kevin Holland then starts flowing through his combinations. But when you start seeing him letting go on Tim Means, when he starts letting this rear hand go, he starts cracking him very cleanly. There it is, look. And then he starts firing off it. And watch how he swings his shoulders and pulls the punch through his opponent. Like, see how his shoulder goes first? Shoulder turns and he whips his body around. That's why he was able to generate so much power into that strike against Jacare. You can see it when he's on the floor as well. Like he'll whip. Like he's swinging a ball and chain. It's a very useful way of generating force into his punches. It very much suits his body frame. And you'll see it in these close ranges as well. See how he wings that? Look how he wings this rear uppercut. So he rolls it into his target. See, I mean, the thing is, it's an unnecessary flair if you're a boxer, but in mixed martial arts, we're seeing all kinds of things work. Like Izzy's drift away counter hooks are really nice. So I would dare say that Kevin Holland is not naturally a very heavy-handed fighter. But I think that because of the way that he moves, because of his frame, I think he's able to whip and generate momentum, which increases his ability to hit with power. Like this, I'm going to actually play this back in slow motion, this combo, because you'll see what I mean, the way that he kind of pulls his shoulders. It's almost like the Ido Portel stuff. I don't know what it's called. You know what I'm talking about. Touch butt in the park. Like, watch how he whips here. Whips his shoulders through the punches a lot of the time. Like this is exactly the opposite to Marvin Vettori. Like Marvin Vettori, I would say he can generate power. He just stifles his power because he's so stiff. So he has power, but he fire blankets it because he's not very relaxed. Kevin Holland doesn't have Marvin Vettori power. This is my opinion, of course. But because he's able to relax, he's able to whip. And there's a unique force that's generated with that. You know, it's not like a thud bang like a John Lineker hit you and you fall over. But there's an ability to, I guess this is where the kung fu in his game is, isn't it? Now I was having this conversation with a commentator friend of mine the other week about a particular fighter who swings arm's length his hooks, like drags them all the way from behind him and uses the power in his torso to swing his arm around, not really thinking too much about the actual arm itself, more about the momentum that he can generate by swinging his shoulders into it. If you watch a lot of the traditional martial arts, there's a lot of like cycling and clubbing with the backs of hands in some of the traditional Chinese martial arts. There's definitely a middle ground which can be found by everybody, kind of halfway between Vittoria and Holland. But I do like what Holland does in these striking exchanges, and this is why Wonderboy doesn't really want to be playing boxing with him, because he loses height, he loses reach. He's not going to be as quick as him, I don't think, anymore, because, of course, the age is slightly different. And I think Wonderboy will... His reaction time and speed will be accentuated by his wisdom, of which he's got a lot of, because he's been playing that karate game for a long time, and there's a lot to be said for that experience. But the chaos of Kevin Holland's game, his ability to just to roll and whip and slap his way through combinations, you could quite easily see him catching Wonderboy with something. And it's going to be these exchanges where they're at close range and Kevin Holland's throwing five or six shots and then slipping off to the side, where he's going to start to get the better of Wonderboy, in my opinion. If Wonderboy plays this game, wham, look that roll up on, and then watch how he dips out the way of that. A lot of fun to watch. And this is going to be a really interesting fight. See, again, the chaos in his game. He's reaching down with this lead hand to touch the lead leg of Tim Means. And you can see Tim Means drop his lead hand because he's not exactly sure what's going on, and he gets caught with the big right hand. Here it is. Just touches the outside of the leg and then fires that right hand to the eye. It's going to be really valuable to kind of keep that chaos in his game and stay off of the regular path that most people would tread if they're fighting Wonderboy Thompson. And of course, he's always got this in the back of his game. I don't expect Wonderboy to level change, but I can imagine him being dropped and trying to scramble back to his feet into a bad position. I can also see Kevin Holland being able to knock him down and then swarm him on the floor and get to the floor before Wonderboy's gotten back to his feet. And again, you know, Darce choke, a beautiful finish. A nice, efficient submission that can work on anybody in any weight class, especially if you've been caught with a big right hand and dropped. So if I'm Kevin Holland, I'm going to work that lead leg as much as I can. Calf kicks, low kicks, hop side kicks. If Wonderboy is southpaw, I'm going to be working with his lead hand. I'm going to be keep side kicking into his lead leg and his midsection. And I'm going to try and get Wonderboy to close distance. And if he closes distance, I'm going to throw punches in bunches, because that's when I generate my most momentum. Maybe not the first punch, the second, third. But when you get that flow going, that twist, that gyroscope spinning through the midsection, that's when he starts to generate force that can really hurt Wonderboy. And also that trickiness, that chaos in his game, is going to be difficult for Wonderboy to settle into his game and set traps for him. The final thing for Kevin Holland, of course, is to get Wonderboy tangled up. Tangle him up, wrap him up, drag him to the floor, attack his neck. Again, throw chaos in his direction. Like, Wonderboy will be far more familiar with dealing with the more generic MMA approach, because he's from, you could say, a previous generation, although Holland is the one with more fight experience. Like, Wonderboy has done the vast majority of his career in the UFC, and it's been a bit of a slow burn if you think about it this way. So Wonderboy's record was 5-0 when he joined the UFC in 2012, and since then he's had 18 fights. He's gone 11 wins, 6 losses and 1 draw. 6 years later, Kevin Holland joins the UFC with a record of 12 wins and 3 losses. And he's had 16 fights and a no contest. So he's almost had the same amount of fights with a 6-year difference in his career in the UFC. And he's amassed a record in the UFC of 11 wins and 5 losses. So Wonderboy, in the 6 additional years that he's had in the UFC, has only had 2 more fights than Kevin Holland. And he also had less fights before he came to the UFC. So he's had the vast majority of his career in the UFC. Kevin Holland had a career before the UFC. He was in Bellator and a few other organizations. Came into the UFC through Contender Series and has had a second career in the UFC. And is now, you could argue, he's into the third stage of his career, having moved to welterweight. The one other thing that goes in Wonderboy's Thompson as well is the fact that this is 5 rounds. Kevin Holland's 0-2 over 5 rounds, whereas Wonderboy is 2-2-1 over 5 rounds. So he's had 5 fights that go the championship distance, and he's won 2 of them. Again, that experience will come into play for him. But if you're Wonderboy, you've got to pick him apart with your kicks, and you've got to try and draw him onto your punches, and you've got to try and keep the fight standing. It's quite a simplistic game plan for Wonderboy, but the unpredictability of Kevin Holland's game is what makes that simplistic game plan quite difficult to execute. And that's why I think Kevin Holland is an interesting challenge for Wonderboy, because Wonderboy is almost a little bit of a throwback fighter at this stage, and Kevin Holland's kind of flow state modern style fighter. I think that alone could be problematic, the way that he flows from one thing to another. I think Wonderboy is from a generation where you go from kicking to grappling to jiu-jitsu, and then you go back into wrestling and then back to striking. And there are more seams in the game where Wonderboy comes from. And because he's not been as ferocious with his output as Kevin Holland, he's not had the octagon time, the cage time, to kind of be in amongst the sport as it's developing. Doesn't mean he can't be incredibly effective with the skills that he's got. But I certainly do think that Kevin Holland is he's a part of the next wave of fighters that are coming through, where their game is far, far more seamless. One other thing I will talk you through, let me just change the colours of these. Let's go red for Wonderboy. You can't read it. That's a big mess, doesn't matter. Wonderboy's red. So Wonderboy, over his UFC career, has landed 1,220 strikes to 10 knockdowns. That is 122 strikes per knockdown. Kevin Holland had already hit Wonderboy's striking output before he moved to welterweight. I just want to state that quickly. So he's landed a total of 1,386 strikes with 4 knockdowns. So not as many knockdowns, more strikes, higher striking output. Regularly gets either close to or into triple figures with striking. Wonderboy, not so much. He's far more of a sharpshooter. 346.5 strikes per knockdown. So again, it's about volume for Holland. He will get to where he wants to be in this fight, but he's going to have to throw more at Wonderboy. Wonderboy is going to pick at you with singles and doubles, and he's going to find that single shot that's going to do the damage to you. It's going to be more difficult against Holland because there's a lot of chaos in Holland's game. But I could keep going back and forth on this fight. I could see it going loads and loads of different ways. And it really is a fascinating one. It's good matchmaking. Because if Holland wins, he's got a win over Wonderboy, who is ranked... Hang on a minute. Where is he? Number 6? Oh, well, joint 6 with Jeff Neal. I don't know what that means. 7, I guess. Kevin Holland's still unranked. But he's a big name. Like, it's going to be difficult to match him with people outside the rankings because he's Kevin Holland and because people know him from the Contender Series, from being a middleweight, from being, a fun, charismatic fighter that intrigues people. But he needs these wins. He needs this win over Thompson to put him into interesting fights in the welterweight division. Because, you know, he gets a win over Wonderboy. Even if you slotted him straight in there at number 7 and you look who's above him and who's below him, you're looking at... Below him, you've got Sean Brady, Vicente Luque, Shavkat Rakhmonov, Wonderboy, Chiesa, Magny, Pereira, and Rodriguez. And above him, you know, you're going into Jeff Neal, Gilbert Burns, Bilal Muhammad, Chimaev, etc. Like, you can throw Kevin Holland into there, and that makes the welterweight division far more interesting, in my opinion. But it's much better to have a number next to his name. And if he's able to pick up a win over Wonderboy, most likely he's going to be a top 10 welterweight. All right. Enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.